Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Oh yeah, you're listening to the Draft Podcast. Let's start the show.
I'll tell you what, that was a crazy few minutes before we started recording. We are bringing on someone that did her own heart surgery, broke her leg, reset it, broke her arm, reset it. One time she saved a whole floor when the building was on fire, you know, does her own stitches.
She has a shotgun hole through her body, like Death Becomes Her, and she's just walking around.
Also, when we say she broke her arm, we don't mean she fell. She just broke her own arm. Yeah. God, snapped it.
Yep. She actually does it daily and reset it to feel alive.
She just wanted something to do with some old sheets. I have all these old sheets. Let me cut them up in strips, and I'll use them as a cast.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. I have an extra two handy. I guess I got to break two other things. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got, before we even get into the sweet rap and all that, we got a longtime fan of the show, Grace. I won't give out the social unless you want to give it out. Just, you know, we didn't even go through that. But, like, how did you even... how did you even find us?
So one of my best friends, Zach.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's actually how I found the show, was through Zach first.
Okay.
Because we were like, yeah, like Grace seems to always be there when we do Instagrams or whatever, and we're like, wait, we have no idea where she came from.
Yeah, and then like her being in Oregon, I was just like, well, that's even weirder because I don't know where she actually, her, you know, where the roots came from. So,
yeah, yeah, that makes much more sense now because we were all kind of curious when someone comes on. So when did you kind of like, was it his episode then?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was.
Okay, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been with us through a lot, Grace.
Yeah.
And us with you, apparently.
Right. Yeah. We've been through at least 37 breaks. You know?
Yeah. She's
awesome.
She's trying to, she just has the book of like that Mick Foley book on the back where it just shows like everything that ever went wrong with him during his wrestling career. Mm-hmm. She's just like trying to check everyone off. Like, if I can just get my tooth to pop through my nose, life would be perfect.
Yeah, this is when I broke my tibia. They were doing Serials Part 2. Like, each one of the accidents goes with the show.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, if I had that book, holy crap. Like,
Oh, man. That's really awesome. Well, hold up now. Draft Pod's cooking. Florida boys with creativity of Brooklyn. We chop it up and serve sweetness up weekly. Drink too much and IP freely. That's just a joke from the past that's oh so deaf. But we had to travel the Oregon Trail to get a real chef. We challenged her to a cook-off to take place. But while we were still prepping, she was done because that's how G race. So we took our punishment of being a butler for hire. But she held the podcast over her head like Cusack, now Grace under fire. Welcome to the pod. We'll try to be good, but no guarantees when Drew's in the hood. Good things can sometimes go bad, like a Disney movie with a mother and a dad. Sometimes you gotta let her cry like Hootie. Sometimes a struggle can be a beauty. A relationship more sacred than a vacuum and Doofy. The flower of a pod trying to bloom like Judy. We'll have you nodding your head like listening to Juicy. Now here's Draft Sad Scenes from Kids Movies.
Hell yeah.
A romance like a vacuum and Doofy? That's fucking brilliant. I never thought of that, like being like, we should throw that in next time we do like couples.
Oh man.
Don't interrupt me while I'm cleaning my room.
But yeah, this was going to be interesting. So I'm not going to lie. I absolutely hated this while I was doing the research because I was just like a fucking mess. Like I was like crying and shit. And I'm like,
oh, I ruined so many people at work's week just because like every time, like I would just walk, I see like a couple people standing there like, hey, all right, food for thought. What's the saddest thing from a kid's movie? And they're like, and then they just started, they start going like, fuck, that's really sad too. But like I learned a lot of stuff though, like from people like, yeah, did you know about this fucked up thing? I'm like, oh shit, no.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this will be a spin on the normal shows a little bit. We'll still get it in. But yeah, no, I was feeling it.
It's Memorial Day, so we're memorializing all these great.
That's right.
Yeah. These people didn't die for no reason, you know. It's they died for us to talk about it on the draft podcast.
It is weird. I imagine like a pitch room at like Disney or something is like the first thing you have to do is like, all right, who's dying? Who's dying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you can't talk about the movie, the plot, like anything until you just up front like tell them who's dying, you know.
I'll make a joke later about this, but there's definitely, let's just say somebody definitely said hold my beer on the in the pitch room.
I feel like that might have been a thing that was happening is like, man, fucking Charlie had a great death. All right, I'm gonna have to up it up a little bit.
All right, let's get these numbers going. Letters. Let's see. James, why don't you tell the people where to find us?
Oh, hey, you can go to jabroniu.com to check out all the great shows on the Jabroni U Network. You can go check out Locals After Hours. You can go check out Why Do We Ever Meet.
Nope.
You can go check out Jabroni U Wrestling.
Fuck them.
Yeah, you can go check out Biff Radio. You can go
piece
check
of
out...
shit.
But all the other shitty shows on the network, go check them all out.
They all suck.
And you know, check out our sister episode or podcast, PWT Cast. We got James.
Oh, that one's good.
We got Andy. We got Grace and Drew.
Nice. Now we should say
that we
have put some new rules in place. So if you don't like that, like in addition to the steel card that you have, you also have. You can redo the order if you want, once a year. So yeah, if you don't like it, you can redo the order now. Otherwise we could get rolling and you still have your steel card. So
are you happy with third pick?
Who? Me?
Yeah,
yeah, you.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, then let's update everybody too. Who else has steel cards? I don't.
I don't think I do either.
I think I might. We haven't talked about it in a minute.
I know.
I think I have one. Yeah, I have one.
I think you had two at one point. Yeah. Okay.
I used mine though, right? I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Oh, I know you
stole from me.
I remember it was, I feel like it was somebody when we had a guest on though.
Okay.
Yeah. But you definitely stole from me.
And I know I stole. All right. We gotta get some more steel cards up in this bitch soon too.
Yeah, we do.
All right. I guess without further ado, Jay Breezy.
Man, I kind of wonder what you guys are gonna go for. That's what sucks about this first.
I know what Drew's going for. I just don't know if I'm gonna take it first. It depends on what you take.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna do? Okay, this is what I'm gonna do. And also like we should just let the audience know that like spoiler alert because this basically all the endings.
Oh
of
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. The whole show is a spoiler.
Yeah, everything's a spoiler. So
yeah.
But anyways, I think I'm gonna go with for my number one pick, the ending of Iron Giant.
Dude, that shit was so funny.
Check it out. I'm more nice.
Oh, look at this. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, dude, one of my like most joyful, like humorous scenes I've ever seen in my life.
At the end of Iron Giant?
Yeah, that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
No. okay. When he whispers Superman to himself and then flies into the nuclear missile, like, my God.
Right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. I remember when
Five for Fighting came on. Fuck.
I remember what we did, what was it? It was like non-Disney animated movies or something. And that was the first time I had watched this. This was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this movie is so fucking good. Like, why have I never watched this before? And that ending,
it's so underrated.
Say
that again.
I showed my preschool students it.
Oh
man.
Oh my God.
Hey, they gotta learn.
Was there a dry eye in the room?
No.
Were you trying to weed out the psychos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not crying right now, go to see the principal.
I'm transferring classes on you.
Listen, we need to put this kid on a list.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh yeah. And it is the ending of the movie. I guess I don't even have to spoil it, but he doesn't actually die, right? I mean, don't you kind of see him afterwards?
Yeah, no, I don't think. If I remember correctly, I don't think he dies. And even in the book, I don't remember him dying in the book.
Okay, yeah. So he's not dead, but you think he's dead. You think it's all over.
You know the backstory to that book/movie, right? That it's the author is Sylvia Plath's husband, and he wrote the book as a way for his kids to like understand like his wife's death.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
That's a crazy fucking crazy stat there.
I guess Iron Giant should have died then.
So you're telling me mom's still alive somewhere?
Like, that would be fucked up if that's what you got out of it. Yeah. Oh man, this whole time you've been hiding her in the basement.
Norman Bates style.
You sent her out into space. All right, Andy.
All right. Man, so I could go one of two ways here. I think one of them is like probably people's like top one. However,
I can tell you, I think it's the one that most people, when I asked this question, they said one word. Yeah.
But I think the other one hits a little harder. So I'm going the mom route, and I'm going Littlefoot's mom.
Oh. Damn. Yeah. That
this motherfucker.
Yeah. No. His mother was looking good. No. Yeah, no, this one hit harder, I feel like, because again, it's a mom versus like at least like
recording stopped.
The other thing. With the other thing, at least there's like there's a community around. You know what I'm saying? Like in this world, it's like, you know, you gotta go figure out your own shit is basically what she hit him with when she was dying from the old sharp tooth, which I assume is probably was a T-Rex or something, but this one
doesn't
hits.
Even know. You don't even know?
Sharp tooth, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying.
You said, oh, I assume is a T-Rex. Would you read a blurb about the movie?
It's sharp tooth, you know?
You're a real flathead, Andy, you know?
Look, I'm just going with it, but she you know, basically tells him to kind of like skedaddle, get on his way, go on your journey, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, little fucker, get going. But yeah, that like sucks. In the movie theater, I was crying.
Yeah. It's such a sad emotional scene when she's like, get out of here, you fucker. Let me die in peace.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the mom death that is to me the most heart-wrenching one. I'm using humor to mask the pain that I went through this morning when I was just kind of reliving it.
So this brings up a question. Can we repick a movie?
Like a different scene? Sure. Yes. I think that's okay. We're not doing nuclear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Well, I also wanted to like really break your heart since this was a sad movie thing. I wanted to break your heart, Drew. So.
Thanks. Well, I mean, I'll talk about it. I was actually pretty happy because when I did bring this up at work, there were like two or three people that said Land Before Time, and I was like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one.
Dude, Land Before Time absolutely slaps. I'm
definitely one.
Yeah.
All right. Grace.
Okay, so actually mine is a Disney / Pixar, and it's the scene with from Onward where I forgot the name of the two characters, but they have the dad come back for that brief moment. Like, that scene broke me in half.
Oh, that reminds me. That description reminds me of another thing that's really sad. But go ahead. I'll add it to my list here.
I think it hit even more home for me, because I lost my father, and I was always really close. So, like, seeing that, like, adventure journey of, like, yeah, and then just the wanting that, you know, one moment back.
Yeah.
All the ugly cries.
I can't. Anytime I watch anything anymore that's like father son, I'm just like, God damn it.
Right?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's a Onward. That's a good one.
Yeah. I have not seen that. I need to say, I'm so behind on Pixar movies. I still haven't even seen another movie that's probably definitely going to get picked. I probably shouldn't say it, but somebody will pick it and I'll tell you.
Land Before Time 2?
Yeah.
Well,
the search
I get it.
Always gold. Oh.
Total slapper.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been like you said, I feel like it's very much like in the pitch room. Like, that's a great story, but yeah, and one of those people need to die.
yeah
And it's got to be a prolific death.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's got to be devastating and really ruin this person's life for at least 20 years.
Yeah Oh shit. All right, I guess so.
Hey, Drew, give us some sad shit.
All right.
Yeah.
Since we're doing it, since we're not doing it, I'm going The Land Before Time.
Whoa.
And I'm going because as sad as that scene is, it's not the scene that hits for me. It's the scene later in the movie when he sees his own silhouette on the fucking
silhouette. Yeah.
And he just like, mother. And he goes running up to it. And then he just realizes it's just him. Like it's just him.
Yeah. It's
the saddest fucking scene ever. And that is going to be my number one pick. So yeah, we'll talk about it.
Hey, Land Before Time gets two picks in the first round. That might be like historic right there.
I know. I wonder
if it holds up. You know, I wonder if it's still sad today, or if you just laugh through it.
Oh, 100%.
I watched it and like, no, it still slaps.
Hit you on the heartstrings.
Oh yeah, it's even more so. It's just like, oh. Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like Drew's fourth pick is reliving the second pick at the same time. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Is what's happened.
It's a callback.
Yeah.
But it is like, you know, as much as it is a, you know, one person on their way. My next pick.
Let's make it clear.
Uh-huh.
That Drew said seeing a shadow is worse than seeing his own mother die.
Yeah.
That is essentially what Drew just said. So put him on the list, everybody.
I'm not saying it's not sad. I'm saying this is sadder. So with my next pick, I'm going Mufasa's death in The Lion King, which was unanimously people's number one pick when I asked. And there is kind of some parallels to this, because they do, he does like have to go, they both go off and, you know, rely on this like ragtag group of people to get back to where they're supposed to be. So, you know, from, you know, back to Pride Rock or back to hell. What the hell was that? Oh, I forget what the, I just remember the star-shaped leaves, trees. Yeah.
The valley.
The valley, yeah. So.
Everything the light touches.
The Great Valley, yeah.
Yeah, the Great Valley.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't hit as hard after, like, watching, have you seen, like, Little Dickie's Lion King song?
Yeah.
That he did? Doesn't hit as hard anymore, you know? I'm hardened because it is so humorous, that music video.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's take note of this, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Forget about the shadow thing.
It sucks. I can't watch a lot of these movies back simply because, like I can't walk into it knowing that I'm going to feel the way. Like, I'm like, okay. This is how I'm going to feel when I watch this movie. So I am hyped to rewatch this movie. That's like not how it goes down in my brain. You know, yeah.
If I cry during a movie, I probably don't ever watch that movie again.
Yeah.
I mean,
outside of the Sixth Sense, you know,
really,
I don't ever,
I completely ugly cried with Rogue One watching it in theater. And I've probably watched it at least 50 times.
Oh. See, I think I've only watched it one time and I did cry as well. Watching it, so yeah. I don't know. I think I guess I just try to block out the sadness, you know.
Yeah. Block out the pain.
If I'm sitting at home alone, the last thing I want to do is put on a movie and just sit alone and cry. I feel, I don't know.
It depends. Yeah, it depends.
Yeah,
It was nice. I guess it was like I had like a. Like a 20-minute crying session that, like, if my wife looked over at me this morning, she just would have been like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know? Research!
I was like that today, too. Yeah.
This fucking Watch Mojo video gets me. All 20 videos.
Dude, that might be the pound for pound most, like, crying moments, like, separately in a video.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to put this little compilation together for everybody and they can go watch it and see what they think.
Yeah.
Back to Grace.
Okay. So this is probably like a given, but like the Neverending Story, but it's not the scene where like everybody would think. It's the scene where the rock biter is like telling like the little boy, like, you know, this is what happened and just how first this person disappeared and this person disappeared and this person. And it's just like, holy fuck, was that sad? Like, because it's more like, you know, like the end of like when they did the snap and fucking Endgame and everything slowly disappeared. That is like the same thing, but in the Neverending Story.
Yeah, Neverending Story is just a dark movie in general too. Like,
dude,
it's
the whole damn thing.
Yeah. It's a heavy themed movie.
Very much so.
Yeah. Man,
dude, I bet this is like the movie that pick. Like spawned on Hot Topic to be a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like
probably that of the Dark Crystal, to be honest.
Yeah, Dark Crystal for sure.
They're like, man, don't want to make some like really big jeans. You know, after watching this movie,
that's
probably what happened.
Hot Topic Joe, this was the first movie he ever saw.
Yeah.
I hope that's his full birth certificate name, Hot Topic Joe.
that's what Scrum calls him. So, it's definitely, like you said, there's still another scene in there for sure. Then,
There's another seven.
Yeah.
Honestly, like even the plot point of why the little boy is reading is kind of like,
yeah,
sad.
Yeah,
dude, and
it's like
him just reading
overlooked,
right?
Yeah. The whole movie is based in sorrow.
What kind of sad piece of shit reads?
Hey, now, I was one of those kids that would just hide out.
Look, I did it for the pizza, you know? So
I was just getting those bucket points, yeah.
Oh, no. My God. I'm looking for my personal pan. I don't give a shit.
Oh, man.
All I gotta do is read 3 Goosebumps pumps, and I got my own pizza.
Dude, I worked it in, Judy Blume, baby. All of the fudge books.
Andy probably only read the last chapters. I got the gist.
Skimmed through it, yeah.
All right, Andy.
All right, I'm gonna go with. One that hits me, that like the two movies that when I was growing up that hit me the hardest was one, Land Before Time, and then this other one, and I'm gonna go with your boy Fievel. So yes. Yeah. Yes. So
which
old Fievel Moskowitz.
I felt like shamefully was way too low on lists.
Yeah, I think so too. Like it's just like, you know, missing the fam and all of that, and like you got the somewhere out there music going on, and
is that the scene?
Yeah. So like, yeah, I had that happen like in a weird sort of way, like where lost my family or whatever for a while. I was at some like big festival in like Asheville, North Carolina, or some shit like that. And I was like 4 or 5, and like I got lost because like there was this dude that was hammering down that thing that goes way up and like hits the top, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I was chilling with the fam, and then like I was like, oh, who's this strong motherfucker? And so I like rolled off over there checking it out, and they lost me. And like so I was lost for literally a couple hours before like cell phone, all that kind of stuff. And how they ended up finding me is my like dumbass that like got smart for a second, like figured out how to walk back to the car. So I walked back to the car, and like my dad walked back to the car and like found me over by the car. And that's like how like they found me or some shit. But
I bet
like,
there was a 5-minute argument away about like,
oh,
he's not going to go to the car. Just check.
yeah, but like so like I felt like I was like relating to Fievel, you know,
yeah,
in that moment.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, Fievel, who's immigrating to the United States and gets separated from his family.
Dude, yeah, I get it.
It's very similar stories, you know.
Dude,
you're 2
Andy,
hours watching, hey, the strong man.
Andy Moskowitz, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As much as this is a super sad scene, I will say, much like your little Dickie thing, I cannot think of this scene without thinking of when South Park parodied it when they were growing the penises on the mouse. On the mouse. And like it's just like the little mouse in the moonlight silhouette with just like the little floppy dick.
Yeah. See, well, here's the thing. Like, it's a weird like transition from like what you just said to where I'm going with it,
right?
But
is there
you ever like watch these movies and you feel so much like that character that like whatever's happening all honestly like hits you even harder because you're like, that's me.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that was me with Fievel, man. I thought I was Fievel. You know?
I feel like anytime you relate to the character, that it's always going to hit a little harder.
Dude, I love cheese. I don't know if you can say that in 2023. You know,
that is true. You
like?
Do.
Are you allowed to say that about mouses? Like that they just like cheese?
Hey, I love cheese. Well,
y'all elite. But yeah, man, I felt like Fievel. I was like Fievel with a mix of Alvin. You know.
You know, I didn't write the somewhere out there thing down because it's kind to me it's kind of a more hopeful song. Like it's not really a sad song to me because somewhere out there we're both standing under the same moon, I don't know. I just
feel this
like...
is different perspectives from different people, so I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Look at James like... being a little optimist over there.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, just trying to shit on my pick.
Speaking of the optimist, go ahead.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, optimist, okay. Talk about somebody dying.
All right. Well, okay. So this is the scene. It's the scene in My Girl.
Yep. Fuck.
When the girl, Macaulay Culkin's lying in the casket. And the glasses. Girl just starts screaming, "Where's his glasses? He can't see without his glasses." Yeah. That shit is
hilarious.
And that movie in general fucked me up as a kid. Dude. Another movie that I have watched probably once, maybe twice, but yeah, I
think about it though.
Sad.
Where is his glasses? She's talking about a dude that's dead and can't see. That shit's hilarious.
Good lord. But she's thinking about him as the alive version. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You put the glasses on him. You think he's going to see better?
It's funny how dumb she is, James.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're a fucking Littlefoot chasing around a shadow of himself. Like, come on. Talk about dumb.
That's the saddest part. It's how dumb.
The saddest part is how dumb Drew is for liking it. Yeah.
I mean,
My Girl. Yeah, dude, this movie.
Yeah, this one hurts.
I remember this was one where I don't think I saw it right away when it came out. And I don't, you know, I just don't know why. Maybe just like, I was being a little boy, like, that's not for me. And then I watched it like, probably like high schoolish, like I finally watched it and I was like, what the fuck, that's what this movie is.
Dude, he had a weird transition, you know he went from Home Alone and did this, and then he played like that little demon kid, you know.
Oh that was
fun. Yeah,
so like, yeah, yeah, like,
son is fucking crazy.
It was wild because like I was at that stage where I was like, whatever Macaulay Culkin is in, I'm gonna watch.
Yeah.
So like, I did not enjoy, you know, how a couple of the movies went when I was a kid. Now I can look at it and appreciate all the movies outside of My Girl. But you know, yeah.
The other scene in My Girl that really gets me, I don't know if I should even say it, but it's in the same scenario, like when he dies and Dan Aykroyd is trying to explain to the girl.
Yeah.
That he
died. Oh yeah, in yeah. the
and he
in
just
the
says,
house.
And he just says there were too many of them, like the, about the bee stings. There's just too many of them. And I was like, I don't know. It's a fuck. That whole sequence of events up to the funeral.
Dude,
and
then when the Wu-Tang track like immediately started playing, I was like, oh, shit.
That's like, right.
That's like when you see the TikTok videos where they're like inappropriate music at the, or like music at the inappropriate time. I saw one the other day that was the Titanic, and it was like as Jack just starts floating, and then they just start playing Under the Sea.
Oh my god!
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's bold.
Back to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is another one that really got me as a kid. And this is a movie that I loved and I watched a lot of, but this scene always gets me. And that's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. When Auntie goes to protect them from the scorpion and he gets fucking killed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not? Like, you're like inhuman if you do not cry at that part.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Inhuman. I fucking hate ants, but like that scene. Yeah.
They made Auntie so lovable too. Like even though like he's just giant fucking ant, I feel like that would scare the shit out of anybody else. But like for whatever reason, they just made him so lovable. I don't know. It was great.
You know how like everybody reacts differently to sad stuff, right? I thought it was kind of wild.
Really, you
that,
laugh at it.
Well, this is hold on. Like I'm not a monster, you know. Like. And not as much as like this. I remember James telling me about like how hard this scene hit him. So he immediately ran outside and started stepping on a bunch of ants. Like sad stuff hits people different.
Yeah. Some people act out, you know.
Yeah, he
actually lured them in with an oatmeal cream pie first.
Yeah.
He waited an hour and then went and stepped on them all.
Yeah.
He wanted that thing covered.
He wrapped some black wire and some like little antlers on his shoe to make it look like it was a big ant. I want to
disclaimer this as that never happened. None of this ever happened.
Wait, so the magnifying glass wasn't real either, I guess.
Auntie was a good friend to all of us, Andy. This is not a laughing matter, all right?
No, and then he showed up at like the Disney parks, and that's a great thing to like play on.
Oh, dude. Yeah, they had a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground back in the day at the Orlando Disney, and it was fucking incredible. And they had an ante, like you could get up on it.
It was amazing.
Yeah. And you were inside the grass, the super tall grass, and
really? All
these slides and shit made out of it. Mm-hmm. I can't
James
believe
was
they...
inside the ant.
Why'd they take it out?
I have no idea. I feel like it should still be there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
They could have incorporated that and Bugs Life together and would have been gold.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I don't see why they would get rid of it because it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Andy.
Oh, all right. Gotta get my shit together, you know?
Did you just yell out Auntie?
Auntie,
no.
All right, so this one's pretty rough because you know it's me, it's Andy,
yeah,
and it's him giving his toys to Bonnie.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, and the sad part about that to me is the fact that like now you have to like actually like pay bills and do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like
you're more
you're losing.
You're sad for Andy.
I'm sad for Andy. Yeah, like he was losing his childlike innocence.
Is this Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See this,
and
is
he had
the,
to like go
Pixar
off
movie
to
I was
the
talking
real
about.
World. You know, and it's like, damn, like you'll never be able to kind of get that thing again where you like. Counting on somebody else to do some shit and you can just kind of live your life. Now you got to like count on yourself and rely on yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Become bitter and jaded.
Yeah. There's something kind of sad there about the fact that like, that's basically him exiting the stage of like this amazing time in your life, hopefully, and going into like, you know, hopefully it's like things pick up, but you know, he's leaving that behind. So, yeah. So it's probably like a flip on the sadness of how other people are looking at it as the toys waving by to him. But really, he's letting go of his innocence.
Damn.
Sorry to feel like you're really Barney Stinson-ing the draft. Like a real Karate Kid.
It's funny too because if Andy was anything like if the Pixar Andy was anything like me, he would just keep all of his toys and still have them displayed right. all throughout his room and you
that's
don't have
the,
to...
that's the beauty, you never lost it.
Yeah, exactly. See?
You know.
I think Andy's just given up. Like that's his problem.
Which that's sad.
Sounds like a real asshole.
Yeah. So were you saying most people kind of didn't see it that way?
What?
That Andy giving up the toys was the sad part?
No, I mean, I think that you have a good point. I'm just saying. Yeah. Some people like me is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you decide you can.
I don't think most people went into it as now he has to be an adult. I think more people were just.
Yeah, they were probably more worried about the toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not real.
When he's like.
They know that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did I just do a thing?
Wait.
Did I just spoil it for a lot of people?
They are real.
The toys.
Yeah.
They're not real.
They are real.
Spoiler alert. I guess I can't say spoiler alert after I said it twice. Right, but yeah, I don't know. That one hit me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know. You got a real perspective, you know.
I kind of like this idea of just Andy picking shit like that from kids.
Well, I got another one coming.
Back to Grace.
Oh shit. Okay. So this one has a little history for me because it was the first film I've ever seen in theaters, and it's a scene where E.T. dies, and I lost my shit as a 4-year old. Like it first started off as like a low sniffle, like, you know, to full on wail, telling my mom, "No, he can't die. They gotta help him." And like all the other mothers and families that are in the theater are telling my mom, "Shut your kid up. Get her out. And I'm wailing like a goon, just like. But that literally still to this day will break me.
Oh yeah. E.T. is a gut-wrenching movie.
Yeah,
especially when he touches Elliot's heart and he says, "I'll always be in here."
Yeah. And then
also kind of creepy,
they touch tips and they both glow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you know.
Steven Spielberg is like so like prolific, you know.
You want to play tummy sticks?
I'll always be inside you. Oh man, tummy sticks.
Do you want to play tummy sticks?
Then E.T. is gone and he comes out and he's like, "Who wants to play tummy sticks?" All his friends.
I think you broke me.
Shit.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just put die E.T. I should have put.
Yeah, but like when that's when he's all ashy and he kind of looks like a turd that's been outside too long. Like, it's really fucking sad. Like, and then like boy crying too. Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It's a turd that's been outside.
He looks like a sick California raisin.
He kind of does.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. It's just a little bit brutal, you know? It's a little harsh.
Yeah. She's bearing her soul about, like, crying to E.T.'s death, and here you are, Drew.
Yeah. Oh, you cried over that dried up piece of shit?
I thought it was a bit much when you shit in your hand and held it up to the camera and said, "Cry over this."
I smeared it on my own. You know?
Oh man!
All right, for me. All right, I feel like we've been picking a lot that, you know, make us cry when we were kids, but here is absolutely one that. It hit me as I was a full grown adult, and this was the hold my beer in the pitch room when they said, "I'll get everybody crying in 2 minutes before the even fucking title screen shows up." I'm gonna have everybody crying, and that's Up.
Oh man, yep. I was gonna pick this at some point.
Yeah. It's
the saddest opening to any movie in the history of movies, in my opinion. Like,
it's fucked up is what it is.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, there's like that. I've seen it a couple times like online where it's like Pixar told a better story in 2 minutes than most people do in 2 hours. like goddamn, we just like, you just fall in love with what is Ellie, right? Ellie and Carl.
Yeah,
and it's
Ellie
just like,
and Carl.
Like, oh man, like what a cool story this is. And then it just goes and goes. And like, what do you mean they can't have kids? Like, no.
It's it's
definitely one.
Yeah. And then there's this whole other movie right behind it.
Yeah. The movie basically ended at that point for me. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. It's actually way better. I guess maybe it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. Like,
it's probably like somebody who doesn't like skits in like albums and they just like fast forward through the skit, right?
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, now we're talking. Yeah. Just fast forward through that part. Oh, no,
nobody's ever truly seen like the 10 minutes that follow that scene because it's always blurry. Your eyes are just covered in fucking tears and you're all fucking puffy and fucked up.
Yeah.
Nobody's even ever seen those other 10 minutes. They could have just had a black screen with talking and nobody would have known.
It's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it's just that little kid doing the trying to sell. I don't even remember what the fuck he's trying to do.
He was trying to get badges for his the merit badge thing.
Cub Scouts,
I think.
Yeah.
What do you guys?
I don't know why I was doing that motion, but
it's the strap. It's the strap. Yeah.
Well,
the old badge bandolier.
Yeah.
What do you guys' take on Cub Scouts?
I was a Cub Scout.
Yeah.
I was a wee blow.
Okay. You didn't get a wee blow as a wee blow, did you?
No.
Okay.
But I did. You know what's interesting is But recently, I was talking to my dad, and the guy who was our scout master, his name was John Garrett.
Why is he called a scout master?
Well, because he was our boss. He was our scout boss.
Sit right with me.
The guy's name was John Garrity. He worked with my dad when I was growing up, and just found out over Mother's Day dinner this like fucking few days ago that the guy
was Tiddlywinks.
But I found out the guy was a swinger. Him and his wife were swingers, and they tried to get my parents to swing with him.
What?
Yeah. Uh-oh. And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "And then you sent me to Cub Scouts with this guy."
See what I'm saying?
I mean, it was fine. He was a great guy. He was awesome. You're allowed to be a swinger and still be a cool guy. You know?
This led down a whole conversation of like what we like at work the other day, where we were just talking about like that this general like how we like all latchkey kids and just like we're literally like unlike now where it's like. Kids like we weren't even allowed in the house for until like the street lights came on. don't come back.
That
is true.
Yeah, it was it's just like, yeah, no wonder, like, because we're just talking about like how all these movies fucked us up and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, that's pretty interesting that and then like
gave
like,
us life experiences, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
really did. Yeah. I just saw my brother sent me a cool meme. It was like, it's like, this is how I knew where all my friends were back in the day. And it was just like a pile of bikes.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
But,
oh, man.
Yeah.
For James, it was just like a bunch of belts and like little shorts in a pile.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, I think Wes made it pretty far in the Scouts.
Did he?
Yeah.
I bet you he was blowing too.
I don't know. Somebody was asking me about scouts and I was immediately like, absolutely not.
You never scouted?
Like he was still like in it when he was wearing tan clothes, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're a kid, it's like the navy blue is like a Cub Scout, right? And then whatever
Yogi Bear
up, yeah,
you know, type shit.
Like he was like, I'm pretty sure Wes was like khaki and fucking red patch. Yeah,
that's Boy Scouts. That's once you get into Boy Scouts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where do you go from
you're
Boy
no
Scouts,
longer
though?
A cub.
I wonder if he was an eagle.
So you go it? Cub Scout, Boy Scout, like is there a men's scout?
It's like Eagle Scout next.
Eagle Scout, yeah.
Okay. Eagle Scout, what's after an eagle?
There is different
like, probably the master.
See, yeah, I, you can be a scout I don't master. Like the way that sounds. Cub, boy, eagle, master? Nah. Mm-mm, I'm good. Okay. You guys cleared it up for me. I'm good. He's not joining.
Who?
My son.
Oh. I was like, yeah, I'm not getting in there.
I think you should put him in Cub Scouts because he needs to learn some of this shit. And it's not like you're going to be able to teach him.
Well, of course, I'm not going to diddle. Like, he doesn't have to learn that people do that.
Not though. That. I don't think that's...
Tie a knot, though.
Yeah, maybe start a fire in case...
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to teach him any of that. I'm not even going to teach him how to, like, put a nail in the wall.
What if he gets lost at a festival for 2 hours, Andy? What's he supposed to do?
Yeah, he'll never know to go to the car.
Yeah, he's just got to text me.
What if his phone's dead?
Well, then I'll just tighten up the leash I have on him.
Okay.
You know.
He can still text from his Apple Watch.
Yeah. I don't even know where we're at anymore.
I think it's back to me.
Oh, yeah, you went up.
Yeah, yep. I went up. Now I got to come back down. With,
the kids overdose scene.
Oh, man. Dude, Kids is a great movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I just meant like 7-year-old or something.
Nope. I'm going to go with a sad scene that surprisingly did not involve a death. In fact, it was super fucking happy because they swerved your ass. Because at the end, the dog comes over the hill.
No!
Comes over the hill.
No, I and wanted this one.
When you think that's it, here he comes.
Talking about Shadow?
Shadow just whipping over that hill. Oh, fuck, does that hit so hard.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I watched this movie when I was a kid and I fucking bawled my eyes out when Shadow fell into that hole.
Yeah.
And I remember like 9th or 10th grade, we fucking watched that movie in English class and I'm fucking crying in the class. Like, and I knew it was going to happen. I almost didn't want to stay. I was going to try to like get a hall pass and go sit in the bathroom for an hour.
Who was your teacher, Grace?
For real.
My teacher was actually
learn at a young age. You know,
my teacher was John Scott, who's also dead now.
Damn.
R.I.P. John Scott.
He's a good guy. Never teach James.
Yeah, because he will give your government on our podcast.
Yeah, I told him he's dead because he made me cry in his class.
Yeah.
That's why he's dead.
Man, I should go back to all my teachers and just start checking off who's dead and who's not.
Well, Mr. Scott, like, I really like
call him. Hey, just checking in to see if your husband died yet.
Hello, is there a Mrs. Reed available? What's your name? I don't know.
Yeah. Mrs. Reed hasn't been here for 20 years. Okay, thank you.
All I needed to know.
All right, back to Grace.
All right, so this is a Disney film, and it's the end scene where, like, the narrator's saying, like, so it's from The Fox and the Hound, and it's two are having to part ways because they can't be friends because of what they are, and that just...
I was going to take this one. This is literally the one I was going to take next.
This is another one that has several scenes, though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but this one, I agree with you. I think it hits the hardest because also you can relate it to things that happen nowadays where you're like, there's people that you may have been friends with and like, you're like, we're just completely different people. Like, we don't have the same ideas, like all this kind of stuff, all that. Yeah. There you go. Me talking about the innocence that Andy's losing, giving up his toys is kind of the same thing here where like, you know, like you can't be friends, even though you had all of those great experiences together, you're just like, we can't be cool anymore. And that kind of sucks.
We can be, we can be Facebook friends, but I'm definitely muting you. I don't need to see that for sure.
For sure. Oh yes.
I want to see it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want to see all your MAGA memes all day. Muted.
Mute. Yeah.
So this Fox and the Hound one hits, man. Yeah. And I still like they both protect each other. And just kind of that, like, all right, have a nice life. Yeah. I've been known to say that to people when I know I'm never going to probably see them again. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm just kind of like, have a good life.
Man,
I'm like, you know.
You really learned from Littlefoot's mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of here, you. Get out of here, you fucking shit.
Yeah. I just remember... This might have been a little harsh. I remember one lady like being like, let's keep in touch. And like in my head, I was like, we're never going to keep in touch. Like, and so I was like, just kind of shook my head, didn't say anything. Cause I was like, I'm never talking to you again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys get it.
Oh, yeah. We get it.
I mean, I can be socially
something wrong with me this episode. Apologies.
I know. I know. See, this is what happens when you start digging up emotions with Andy. Yeah. Like, he never brings it out. So when he does, like, we just get all the negative shit that he does.
That's such a perspective, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, this friend scene.
If you think about it too, like also like past relationships that you've had, and like you know, breakups that you've had, and those friends that you had while with someone, and then you don't have those friends. That scene just hits on so many different levels.
Yeah, there's aspects you don't even think about, like where it's like, oh, there's this thing that I took for granted that I'm never gonna do again because, you know, I can't fuck with this fox, you know.
It is. I'm feeling those things right now, you know.
Yeah. Can't fuck with that Fox News.
Can't fuck with Fox. It was way ahead of their time. They knew.
They knew it was coming. Jandy.
It's you. I think it's you.
Jandy. That's me.
No, it's Andy.
Yeah.
All right. All right, you guys are gonna think this is fucked up.
This is your second one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Best way to start any sentence.
All right. So Home Alone.
Okay.
Okay.
When the family came home.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. I already since I'm with you, and then I just did the math in my head. Go ahead.
He'll leave his ass again. Like, he just would have been better off if they didn't come home. You know?
Oh, that's not what I thought the math was adding up to.
Yeah.
I solved for X wrong. So I thought you were saying it really ruined his good time of being alone.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but like, he was missing. The whole point of the movie was that he was missing them the whole time. He thought he wanted to be alone.
The whole point was actually that they left his ass, and if they loved him enough, they would have never left him in the first place.
Well, they can't.
Hear that, John and Sheila?
It's because of that. It was because of that shithole kid that lived across the street that was sitting around digging through everybody's bags in the beginning, and they counted him in the car.
Yeah, it's because they can't do math properly and they don't have enough. Maybe they shouldn't have that many kids if they can't keep track of them. You know what I'm saying?
They're
just out there fucking for numbers.
This is a perspective.
You know what that means? That means they're having as many kids as they can because they know one of them's going to make it out and one of them will come back and take care of them when they're old. That's why they're doing it.
See, I thought you were going to say where the grandfather gets to see his granddaughter again at the very that scene.
That's what I meant. Thanks for saving this, Grace. Thanks for saving this pick.
No, that's what I meant.
It's just sad because you know she's going to get chopped up and put in that
Mangler style.
Yeah.
I thought you were sad about Buzz's room.
No, I'm fucking with you. It's the mom returning and seeing the kid. And I was a mama's boy at that age growing up, and like thinking about, like, you know, she went out of her way to do all that shit, and she still only showed up like 2 minutes before the rest of them.
Yeah,
like bad planning.
Yeah, I know.
Your impatience.
If I could just go back in time and tag what James just said with the Buzz's room, I was just thinking too. Like, Andy's just sad Buzz has to fuck that girl.
Buzz, your girlfriend, barf.
I had a student that actually had a sweatshirt that had that on it, and she wore it for like, but right before, like for our Christmas party, and it was hilarious.
That is grade A parenting right there. That is great parenting.
I want that shirt now.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where she got it,
All right, James.
I'm gonna keep it open. You guys can think.
Take a semi home.
However you want.
All right, I'm gonna do a non-death sad scene.
Uh-huh.
And this one hits me. It's something that I've thought about a lot, and I've seen this movie a lot growing up. So when Harry and the Hendersons, when John Lithgow is trying to make Harry leave, and he's telling, "Get out of here, you big dumb animal," you know, and he's like slapping him and shit. That shit's a very sad scene to me.
Oh my god, what a good pull, James.
That is a great pull.
That's a good one.
Because I immediately was laughing, thinking, what scene in Harry and the Henderson is he talking about?
Well, because he's like trying to hide his own tears in the fucking scene while he's trying to make Harry go. But
right, so he's being mean and hiding his emotions from what he actually feels, because he really
loves
him.
He's just like you on this episode of the podcast.
Yeah. And he just said, Yeah. That's...
Andy's Harry and the Hendersoning us.
Oh, man. I am. Damn. I don't need therapy. James just got it out of me.
That's right.
Dude, I had that exact same thought today of like it's funny because like eventually the answers to my like the shit that I'm working on in my head, they always come up. Like it's like, I don't need to pay anybody. I got people like just through conversations, I'm like, oh, that's what I do.
Yeah, all you have to do is be a little self-aware and you can figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or you can be self-aware and just go, oh, okay.
Yep.
I'm gonna keep on keeping on.
Oh man.
Drew's gonna do Drew.
Oh, what a pull though.
Yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons was not like every other pick on here. I was like, I've seen it, thought about it, heard it, all that. Harry and the Hendersons is the one pick this whole draft. I'm like, did not see that coming.
No.
Yeah. I was doing research for this too, and it wasn't on any lists, which was surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good movie. I feel like.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I like that pull though, like just because it's so like out here, and you pulled it like from your memory bank. I love that. That's
right. Yeah. You just made me realize something too, that isn't on any lists. So. With that, I guess we'll take a shoot. We'll go over to Texas.
So raven. Oh, so she did. Drag on the sea. It's when. Oh, so raven. So she did.
A.
You beautiful, beautiful piece of art.
Yeah. He's going to be, because we're doing this early, he's going to be our handsome person of the week.
Yeah.
You know, Boas. I just love myself. I'm finer than frog's hair.
Well, that's KA.
That's a really good impression of KA.
That was. I can't even do. I was going to jump in. I can't. It's too good.
You gotta. See, that's the problem. It's too good though. I need to like cartoon it up. Like it needs to be more like, "What are you doing, Buzz?"
Man, thinking about your stems today, KA. Thinking about them stems.
They always make me cry.
Like two big glasses of wine on top of them stems. You know what I'm talking about?
Who's got something good?
I got one.
Okay.
The movie Air.
Dude. Oh, it's on Prime now, right?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
it's one that I would say, even if you're not like a hardcore sports fan like me, like still go check out. I've seen some people that aren't sports fans that were like super into it. It's fucking great. Affleck, Damon, you know, Tucker, even my guy Marlon Wayans makes a quick appearance. But yeah, it was great. And what they did that was, I think, made it so good. They never, like, this is a spoiler alert, but not really a spoiler alert because it's more of a smart choice they made. Jordan's so recognized that if they would have showed Jordan and the dude wouldn't have looked like Jordan, it'd have been like, here we go again. They never showed the front of his face.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they always, like, showed the back of his head or something like that, or if he was nodding or sitting there. So like you never saw the front of his face. And the only time you like heard him was like on the other side of a phone and it was one word and that's it.
Well, okay.
So everything was about all of the surrounding shit. It was about him, but it was not like through the lens of his, which made it like more realistic because you don't know all of the Nike people. You don't know, you know, Jordan's parents necessarily as much. So you can kind of get away with showing whoever they are being that person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you would have done that with Michael Jordan, it almost would have like thrown the movie off.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. There's a lot of great monologues and speeches. And
although it would have been awesome to have Michael B. Jordan played Michael Jordan.
Dude, maybe it was. You know, maybe it was and we don't know it.
Like, all right, I see you, Matt Damon.
That's right. it was fantastic though. I highly suggest it to anybody just wanting to watch a damn well acted movie that is great. It's more of like I wouldn't even call it as much a sports drama. There's some sports in it, like where they're talking about the guys they could sign. Mm-hmm. And then it's cool because you get like the pitches from like Converse, Adidas, Nike. So it's kind of cool to see that aspect of it. But like, yeah, the movie was awesome.
Hell yeah. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go now. This week they have, well, it was the start of, if anybody out there, I know I came across this week, wanted to share it with you guys immediately, but I was like, no, this is a Raven. So Conan, his podcast, Conan Needs a Friend. This week, they started what's going to be a multiple episode run of him, Robert Smigel, Kevin Nealon, and Dana Carvey sit down and they're table reading the never made Hans and Franz movie.
Oh, what? Wow.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it's like the first, like, they read like two or three scenes on this one. But, yeah, dude, it's really funny. And, like, just, like, hearing them talk about the stories of when they were writing it and all that stuff, like, it's really cool. So, yeah, check that out on teamcoco.com or whatever. I don't know. But you can watch it on the YouTube, so.
That's awesome.
On the YouTube.
You old ass, man.
I know.
Yeah,
so that's mine.
I can't remember if I brought up Guardians 3 last time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I saw Guardians 3. Grace, you saw it too?
Yes. Holy shit. Talk about ugly crying the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, brought up so many things for me, like through the whole thing, that I was just like, dear God.
I probably cried 5 to 6 times during that movie. It was so fucking good. And that trilogy alone, like, you could take all the other Marvel movies and flush them down the fucking toilet as long as you have the Guardians trilogy. They're really good. All the movies are really good, but the Guardians movies are just on, to me, they're on just a whole nother level.
I mean, just the way the cinematography is done throughout the Guardians movies, the musical score and music is just superb. Just the way
everyone
is so well casted, from the smallest role to, like, you know, the main characters.
Yeah.
It's just so well done.
Like, it just, I feel like no matter what you're going through, like, something, like, resonates with you too. Like, but it, like, it was just so sad. And, like, but, like, also, like, in a good way, like, some of it was just, like, very happy. And then, like, seeing, like, so I don't know if I should say the spoiler of, there's a sentence that gets said. Oh, there you go, Andy. There's a sentence that gets said, and it's like they said, like, it's not, fuck, I don't even know if I want to talk about it.
All right.
Because I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it. It's so cool.
It's pretty fresh in the theater.
Yeah.
So let's not spoil it.
We'll circle back in a year.
Yeah.
But
just know that it's really fucking good. Stay for the middle credit scene, and then stay for the after credit scene.
All the credits.
Middle credit scene.
Yeah.
They do a scene. They do a scene in the middle of the credits, and then they do a scene at the end of the.
Okay. I thought you were saying, like, they just randomly cut the movie in the middle and, like, all of a sudden did some credits, and then they went back to the movie.
Well, that's the first half.
That's a unique choice.
That worked on it.
That's an interesting choice.
I also thought was interesting was if you do, like, look at, because you stay at Marvel movies, you actually kind of look at the credits going across the screen.
Yeah.
And the credits are like camera operators, and then there's like 500 people's names, like, just fucking listed, because there's so much fucking shit going on. There are so many people involved in this movie, or all these movies, but I don't know. Guardians is so good, though. James Gunn is like a fucking master.
Yeah.
Even his low budget, like, horror stuff that he's done, and it's all so fucking good, and it's got so much, like, heart to it, and I don't know.
They're so deep. Like each one Guardians films is really, really deep.
Yeah.
But this last one was just over the top. Like the whole Quill with Gamora, I don't want to give too much away, but, like, if any of you have been through, like, heartbreak and seeing that person and knowing that, you know, like, just that alone, like, all ugly cries.
Oh, and then even that, like, the last little conversation they have. But the like the humor, like, hits always, like, as always with this shit too, like, I love fucking Batista calling the kids little morons. Hey, morons, come here.
This is the first of the Marvel produced Marvel movies that they say an F word in it. There's an F bomb in it. That's pretty
That's what I'm fucking talking about.
That's that's...
Man, was it? Did James steal your Raven, Grace? We apologize on behalf of him.
I have to think about it.
We can share.
I got a cool thing for you to do real quick. So you cook up dishes, right?
I do. Yeah.
If James, Drew, and I were coming into the restaurant, and you had to serve us each with a dish, what would you serve each one of us?
Oh shit! Okay, so. Would it be something that we make just solely in the restaurant, or would it be something that just I actually
in your brain, whatever, could be in the restaurant, outside of the restaurant, just like all right, this guy gets this, this guy gets this, this guy gets that.
Shit. Okay, so All right. Okay. So if I was cooking for Drew, I would serve him my dad's beef stew. It's this hearty stew, but it's served over rice, and there's like carrots, and it's roasted, but it's warm and it's cozy. Yeah. So that
can,
one.
Can we call
Damn,
it beef?
That's a good one.
Can we call it beef Drew?
It is from now on.
Now on. Okay. And so for Andy.
Also, I'm starting to get menu vibes, so.
Yeah.
This so is specifically
we're
made.
We're all going to die.
So, Andy, I would probably serve my mom's style of short ribs that's made with a homemade barbecue like rub, and then that's marinated in Coca-Cola, like the Mexican Coca-Cola, not the bottled one. Ooh. Like the one you get like from like, you know, the 2-liter bullshit, but the actual Mexican Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I love me a good glass bottle.
Yeah, so marinate that with beer as well, but not like a Corona or any of that. It would be like a stout. So you want like the dark stout with the cola, and let it slow cook. And so I would do that.
That's how I do my ribs.
Probably the potato salad and some like salad. Yeah, my mom's potato salad is like the shit. And then what veggie? I would probably put like, as far as veggies goes, maybe some string beans, maybe.
We don't need a veggie.
Andy, the closest thing to veggies is cornbread.
Dude, potato salad.
Come on. Oh, true.
Salad's in the name, potatoes in it. Like, come on. That's good enough. Yeah. All right, James. What are we cooking up, James?
All right, for James. Holy shit. Okay. It would probably be my style of pork adobo, because I do it with, I also slow cook it, and I do it with pineapple and bay leaf. And then I do it on the stove first, and then I put it in the oven, and I'll serve that over rice and with a fresh miso salad.
Hell yeah. I love that.
I feel like you.
When do you want me to come over?
That's the thing, James. Like, you know, you taste like pineapple too, so it's like perfect.
That's right. That's right. Hey, yeah. Don't tell everybody my secrets. All right.
Drink so much pineapple juice.
But yeah, and as far as shows, so like I just recently, and I know it's probably like, but I just recently watched Bridgerton's The Queen Charlotte Story.
Okay.
And it's actually, it's done really, really well. The storyline's really, really good. I don't want to give too much away, but you know that, you know, George was mad. Like, and so it's the early, his early story with the, when he first gets the queen and whatnot, and their beginning stages of their marriage. And it just shows like how bad mental health was, and like what they do to like cure mental health at that time period, which is fucked up beyond. And so, but like also like the hopefulness like resonated throughout like the whole story. Like, just because you have an illness doesn't mean you're like, you have to be isolated. And so that, like, the especially the last episode, like, totally was just like, but that one was actually done really, really well. I could say like I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll check that out.
Yeah, yeah. I clicked on the first picture and like someone's got like a croquet thing in their hand.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's all that playing croquet back in them days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's definitely a king and queen game.
Croquet? Yeah. I used to play croquet, man.
Well, I know. Today it has spread amongst all the commoners. But...
yeah. Dude, croquet was the game back in the day, man.
You need a plot of land to play like true croquet, though.
Do you really?
Like, from stick to stick is like 100 feet. Like,
it doesn't have to be.
But I'm saying, like, to play a true game, though, like,
you, oh, a true proper game.
Yeah.
Dude, we should have a croquet tournament.
Because I don't think it was that way in the movie Heathers. I think they're the way that they set it up was like really short little stints.
Yeah.
Well, Drew's like got all that land. I'm official, so, though. You know, he's yeah.
How exactly is croquet even played? Like, I know you have to get it through the little.
Yeah, there's a ball. You hit it.
So yeah, hold on. Let me draw
on the grass, and like you try to get it out of the way. You have to get under the thing, and then you go to the next one. So like you're trying to like hit it through all the.
I don't know if you can see that at all. Like,
no, yeah, you gotta hold it closer.
I kind of can. I squint.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
So you start at the top, and then you got to go. Oh, where am I? And then you go through there, and then you got to go to the middle. Then around this stick. Actually, there's isn't there two sticks lined up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got to hit the one pole, and then
got to hit the pole.
And then you just come back around. So it's like whoever can get around that. But if you land something like if a ball lands next to each other, and whoever's next turn like is first, they can put their foot on their ball, smack it as hard as they can, and that other ball will go flying in another direction.
Dude, it's perfect.
That's the best part.
Yeah, you play some defense and just send their ball out to freaking West Virginia, and you're in like
California. It's like Sorry when you knock somebody back to the home. I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Dude, can you imagine if you're playing croquet and somebody just like right in your face? Sorry, after just launching your ball,
dude. I think I have a croquet set in my fucking little utility closet here. We gotta
do some croquet.
Well, yeah, we're gonna play croquet next time.
Yeah. Dude, let's do some croquet and then let's do some crocheting.
Dude, yeah,
let's just croak it up.
Dude, like,
I do need some new mittens.
A croak. yeah. Winter's gonna be chilly this year.
Crow day. Come on, crow day.
Dude, like a cookout and some fucking croquet, some Coronas.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
Grace's mom's ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think she nailed that, by the way.
Yeah, like,
I think she did too.
That was amazing.
Because you are kind of like a hearty,
yeah,
you know, like wholesome in a weird sort of way.
You're
like,
beef Drew.
I'm definitely home style.
Home style, that's what I meant. Not wholesome. You're the furthest thing from wholesome.
Yeah. Somebody, I was telling somebody at work today about like the podcast, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you have like I can hear that like in your voice," and I was just like, "God, once again, great voice for podcasting. Just the word comes out of it."
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I guess that's it, Kevin.
So Raven, oh, there, so she did, drag on, she it's when, glorious, so Raven, so she did.
Handsome person of the week, Kevin Aldridge.
Yeah. I'm also glad that you guys have kind of went off the list a little bit, because I kind of low cut myself and I was like, hope this doesn't backfire, but I think I'm
good. I did too, because I was like, I can't watch anymore. Like, I stopped and went and got bagels for the fam.
Yeah.
Because I was like, nope.
I need a pick me up bagel. Can't do this anymore.
What kind of bagel did you get?
Oh man, I got Asiago with like eggs over medium with some Swiss cheese and bacon on it. So like a nice bagel sandwich.
Yeah.
You know,
he's avocado.
Yeah, I wasn't on my basic stage today. <You know>?
I like the I get really into what's the fish one, the schmear,
vagina,
salmon,
locks, yeah,
locks,
like,
yeah, locks.
I got really into that for a while. Like, I was like almost every weekend I would work, I would just like Grubhub that when I got home, so it was just waiting on me. Like, I just love that shit.
Yeah, lox.
Yeah.
Drew with some bagel and lox.
James.
Just so everybody knows, when Drew said the fish thing, Andy said vagine.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen. Yeah.
It is good on a bagel.
I just want to make sure everybody heard that.
It's good on a bagel.
Oh, all right. Man. For my fifth pick.
Uh-huh.
Also another non-death scene. It's actually kind of a happy moment, but
dude, you hate dying.
Yeah, you're right. I do hate death.
He's one of those weirdos that hates dying.
I know.
I like the rough.
But this is the moment where a good thing happens, but then the dude realizes, oh my god, this is the end, and you just kind of see that like sadness like sink in the moment. And I'm talking Free Willy. At the end of Free Willy, when the fish jumps over,
yeah,
and the kid starts jumping up and down, freaking out, Jesse, and then he realizes, oh my god, now I don't have Willy in my life anymore.
Never, you know what I mean? Never seen that piece of shit.
The only part of Free Willy I've seen is from the "You Are Not Alone" music video.
Is that true? You've never seen Free Willy?
I was good.
Dude, Free Willy's a good fucking movie.
Dude, I feel like they played that like every year in elementary school.
Well, it was not in my elementary.
West.
It was filmed where?
Here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got those Free Willy rocks right in your backyard.
I think it was actually filmed closer to Seattle. Like,
oh, okay.
That part of the coastline versus the Oregon.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Ninja Turtles Part 3, though. There was some of it filmed over by Astoria.
Oh
shit.
Hell yeah. Dude,
I forgot
the shit out of that music video though.
Dude, yeah, I completely forgot about that fucking Michael Jackson tie-in. Like, that was huge, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Dude, that was like that gave a little bit of Seal Kiss from a Rose vibes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
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 Damn, son.
That's the greatest 5 seconds in music history.
That's my, you know, that song is my alarm. Every morning I wake up to see.
Dude, that's amazing.
You wake up with a kiss from a rose every morning.
That's right.
Damn. Shout out McGowan.
Mine's. No. For a while it was the Brock Lesnar theme.
Sounds like the teacher humping Forrest Gump's mom.
Yeah.
I want that so bad.
Hey, got anything to say? Oh man.
All right, Andy.
Young Forrest was low key funny. Man. All right. I'm going to break everybody's hearts. This is basically a death. This is worse than a death. This is like the worst thing that can happen. And Wally, when he loses his personality.
Yeah, I got that. The Wally's reboot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because, like, if you lose who you are, then you're not really anything. Man.
But he kind of gets it back. I mean, he gets it back. But, yeah, for that first
crowd's chanting, you still got it? No, you lost it.
Love
you.
Yeah, but like that, to me, that breaks me because like I feel like your personality is that unique thing that you have.
Yeah,
almost even more than life itself, you know,
because
if you die, people will remember the personality that you had.
Yeah,
but if you lose your personality, people don't remember.
My grandpa got Alzheimer's late in life, and he was like a contractor and a builder his whole life, and he built like tons of buildings in Sarasota and all over the place in Florida. And before he finally passed away, like I remember standing in a garage with him one day, and he had all his tools sitting there. And I said, man, look at this collection of tools you have throughout the years. And he goes, yeah, whose are they? And I was like, that was like devastating, you know, that was a fucked up thing. So
I always thought, go ahead.
I work in as a CNA in a memory care dementia facility. And it is definitely heartbreaking when you see them go from like kind of lucid to non-lucid. And it's just,
My grandpa went through that too. But you know, even on another level, there are people that just completely do 180s in their life, and you're like,
yeah,
wow, you're not the person I became friends with.
Yeah.
Sadder.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you have control in this one.
I think it would be a cool life experiment if you could pull it off.
Yeah.
Say like you. I mean, no, this is different. Like, if you have everybody in your life go away and then you like reset and then become a new person. But like, say you pretend like you have Alzheimer's, right? For like a year. And then you just get to like create this new thing about yourself. That'd be pretty dope.
You have such a perspective this episode.
Staying, you know, like fuck, man.
I think we're also like, this is it really is therapy. Like, we're finding a lot about Andy. Like, I feel like somebody, like any professional, would be like, you need to do some stuff about your home life, Andy. I just want to leave and be another person for a year.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, it's cool for somebody, you know?
There was a TV show, and it was about a guy who had two, I can't remember the name of it. It was like a couple years ago, I feel like. It was only lasted one season, but it was about a guy who had two families. And in one of the families, he was like this rich businessman. And the other family, he was like just kind of a regular guy.
Damn.
Like dad at home or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he had two wives, like children from both families. It was a fucked up show. Like, I don't know
that off.
Yeah, I don't know why they thought that.
Hard to keep up with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a lot of disappointment. Like,
I know.
Yeah, he's always losing his keys. Just move to fucking Utah or something. You know?
I don't get that at all.
Instead of getting an elite house, get like a super nice house and like just meet in the middle and then just, you know, throw everybody in a compound.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I have three extra animals at the house and I don't even like, I'm like, oh, my life is over. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Imagine with like extra families to worry about.
That's crazy.
Ugh, actual people.
Yeah.
Ugh, the worst.
I was gonna probably come see Thanos tomorrow, by the way. I was gonna pop over and that reminded me to tell you that.
I think that's okay.
Alright.
Grace?
You wanna swing by and see me tomorrow? You can do
that. Oh yeah. I'll drive up to Jacksonville.
4 hours away. Just real quick, 5 minutes in and out.
If you want to take a 4-hour flight to see Grace, that's cool too.
All right.
I think it's probably longer than four, isn't it?
Probably.
Probably got to get some connectors and shit.
No, the last time I flew from here to Cleveland, it was like only like 5 hours, I think.
Yeah. We're in Florida though.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's a whole different that's a connector. You're connecting in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying. Yeah, it's a long flight.
That's a long flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 7 or 8 hour flight. Because of the time difference.
Jeez.
Oh yeah.
You can get three movies in that.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Or a lot of sleep.
I remember when I flew out to Vegas. This is when I still lived in Ohio. I flew out to Vegas for the first time. It was like, it was really weird because, yeah, the flight there was like a 4-hour flight. And then, but then like,
it ended up being like
7 hours, you know, time wise. But then the other way was the other way back, where it was like, it was only a 1-hour flight when you just looked at the time. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? Like, how am I leaving at 10:30 and landing at 11:30?
You left at night and you flew into sunlight.
Yeah.
Doctor Who level shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
All great. Right, what do you got?
Okay, for
last
me.
Pick before honorables.
Oh, so this is another old school one, and it's the Dark Crystal, and it's a scene where the Skeksis are pulling the essence out of the one character, the girl, and it's just
it's a sad moment.
Yeah, and that's another one at a really really young age and was like, why are they doing this?
Dark Crystal was so good.
So fucking good.
My God. So, that's Jim Henson, right? That was
Jim Henson, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy,
he's got those wild ass looking creatures in this thing. Like, this shit's more scary than like a lot of scary movies.
Yeah, we picked the ones in our non-scary scary movies, right? Like the
the things that are on the stilts or whatever.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Vampires, but I know that's a different movie.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
No, they're called like the Thunder Hawks or something, right?
For the Dark Crystal, I think so.
Yeah,
something along those lines. Yeah.
Those things are creepy.
That have like the face from the movie. What's it called? The Fly, where you know, like it's like that.
Yeah.
Like, meh.
Yeah. I just feel like sometimes that thought pops in my head about Jim Henson. Just as far as creative minds go, like he has to be like, if you drafted top creative minds of all time, I feel like he's on that list in the top 5.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is that fucking incredible?
Yeah, he had a show called Storytellers, and it had John Hurt as a narrator, and it was all these stories, and they did both the fables and they did Greek myths. I saw the ones with the fables, and they were done so really well. But yeah, he is definitely prolific.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Jim Henson.
He's fucking crazy.
It is.
Oh man. Yeah, I need to rewatch it by showing it to my kid and just see if it's like who's the bigger bitch test. I am going to lose that hands down. Like, he's way, like, he's into like scary stuff that I couldn't handle as a kid. So like, but like, I just want to see him watch Dark Crystal and, you know.
Yeah,
like the mind thing or whatever. Like all that shit. Like, it would be interesting to watch that. Just like we were kids watching this shit, you know.
The two main characters in the movie have kind of a scary look to them as well. Just, they kind of look like, you know, when in Beetlejuice, when he like pulls his head.
Oh, the Skeksis.
Yeah.
And the lady with the one like eyeball that pops out.
Yeah.
Not like Broomhilda.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Everybody in the movie actually looks fucked, like, kind of has that really weird look to them. Yeah.
He clearly was just trying to scare the shit out of kids. Like, every image you pull up is terrifying.
Yeah. Well, it's a dark crystal.
Yeah.
It's
dark. This is the guy who made the Muppets. This ought to be good.
Yeah.
This ought to be a sweet movie.
I hope Kermit's in it.
No, it's interesting. The you know, birds or whatever, in their face, if you look closely, you can see the same look as ABC's The Dinosaurs.
Really?
like if you like don't look at the beak and you kind of
you think
like,
they reuse look, the costumes for dinosaurs
like they look like it like not just cover mama. Up the beak and it looks like the dinosaurs that's crazy
they are scary though
yeah
oh yeah
okay
all right
I'm gonna finish her off and I'm gonna go with mine that James you pulled Harry and the Hendersons and I immediately thought of one that again not on any list I saw but when you hear Ernest P. Worrell sing gee I'm glad it's raining because then that the rain hides your tears that is some sad shit and I'm going Ernest Goes to Camp
wow
yeah
I don't even remember that
no
it
was like he kind of finds out like you know it was basically when he was getting bullied out of the camp or whatever and you know all like it was like the you know the cool kids and all that kind of stuff like he's just like he talks talking to like the nurse or whatever and he's just like you know I'm just trying to you know these kids are all I got and blah 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 and we got to give up like the camp and then he just starts singing that song and it's
man it's, who would have thought an Ernest movie would bring it out of you you know
I know
that's crazy that's a crazy pull
yeah. Well I'll send you guys the scene that way you guys can all cry today so
Man. I would like to watch those Ernest movies again. I haven't seen them in so long.
Yeah, since I was a kid. Yeah.
I definitely would watch Ernest Goes. I don't know if I would watch any of the other ones, but Ernest Goes to Camp.
I'd watch them all.
Yeah. Ernest Goes to Jail is the best one, in my opinion.
it's so good.
I fucking love it with the fucking evil Ernest and everything. Yeah. And he's shooting lightning out of his fingers at the end.
Well, see, that's the thing with this. Like, this is like
Camp is incredible.
Too, as far as like, it's one of those like. They thought they figured out the algorithm, so they just went with like, but it's like, oh, you kind of need that balance of a really good story and like, you know, pulling the heartstrings a little bit, where the other ones are just like fucking wacky. This actually, like, this was before it was like, yeah, we're just gonna go make a hard left into this fucking craziness. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, man. I love a good Ernest taking himself seriously. You know, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. This movie's great. And that's it. And we're going to go with me with the Courtney rule. I mentioned our little Boy Scout earlier, so I'm going to go with this. He knows it's coming. Wes, this one's for you, Old Yeller.
Old Yeller. I was going to take it. Nice.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Next.
Like, just pull the trigger, dude. Stop being a little pansy.
Don't be a little bitch.
Yeah, come on.
Right between the eyes. Come on, you know.
My dog, I'll do it. Come on, man.
Andy's so good this episode. All right, you know, James, like, he's so positive. He's such the optimist. Like, he's almost like the Optimist Prime. You know? So I'm going to go Optimist Prime dying in Transformers.
Twice, right?
Yeah, just like a hard fucking left. Like, what are we doing? Like,
Yeah.
Imagine going to see, like, the Ninja Turtles movie and, like, Michelangelo dies in the first 30 minutes. Like, it'd be fucking crazy. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna shout this out just because when I was asking people at work, somebody brought this up, and I was like, dude, I didn't even know anybody else in the world had ever seen this movie except me and my brother. So, like, but I'm gonna go with The Boy Who Could Fly.
Oh, I remember that movie. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It
was a Fred Savage joint. He wasn't the boy who could fly, but there is this one scene in there where, like, it's basically like right before like everything goes to hell, like the dog gets hit by a fucking car. the boy who could fly gets taken away to like an institution, and this is a family who's already dealing with grief because their dad had, and like Fred Savage gives this fucking scene as a little kid, and I'm talking like this is like Princess Bride age, and yeah. he's like because the dad finds out he has cancer and then kills himself, and like he's like because of everything else coming out, like he's dealing with that as a little kid, and he's like he didn't even try, he just gave up, and it's just like fuck, dude, like damn. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the boy who could fly, and again it's because I wouldn't even thought about it, but shout out Jose for fucking bringing this up, because I was like dude, I told him, I was like, I thought me and my brothers were the only three people that ever saw this movie.
Nope, I did.
Yeah.
I liked to press it when I was a kid, apparently.
Yeah. Crazy.
But this had Natalie from The Facts of Life was in this. Bonnie Bedelia. Fred Wynn, however you say that. It actually has people you know, but it's just like nobody's ever heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know it.
I don't know it either. Never seen it.
Yeah, it's give it a watch. It's on YouTube.
All right.
Free on YouTube.
Nice.
Grace. Honorables.
Wait, what?
Three honorables.
Okay. So The Secret of the Nim is another one. Got Don Bluth, where the mom's having to, you know, run back, and the scene where like the kid's sick and he's just like the kid mouse. So that's one of them.
Okay.
Another dark ass film.
Yeah.
One of his cousins with Fievel Mouskowitz.
City Mouse and Country Mouse, yes.
Yeah.
Jeez, okay, so that was one of them. God, now, like, I had them in my head.
City Mouse meets a Country Mouse. City Mouse has to do some milking of cows.
So, the movie Legend, I don't know, would it be considered a kid's film?
I Am Legend?
Tom Cruise?
No, the Tom Cruise one, like the 80s.
It's with the devil and...
Yes.
It's honorables, why not?
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
So that scene where Lily is like herself and then transitions while she's dancing with the dark dress, just that scene is terrifying and sad and depressing and like...
Yeah. That's a great movie too.
Oh no, like my cousin scared me with that damn movie when I was a little kid. Yeah. So like, and I didn't watch, like I watched some of it as a little kid before they scared me with it. And then later on, as I got older, I watched the whole film in its entirety. And that scene always stuck out to me. Because it was just like, she loses her innocence to become this thing. And like, if she gets back to that, what like, yeah. Ooh. Okay, that's two. And then the third one would have to be, shit, because I have like three in my head. Which one should I choose out of the three in my head?
The second one.
Oh, the fourth one.
Because we're making it easy. The Yearling. The old book, The Yearling. They made a movie of it. It's black and white. And like, also too, it's like in the same caliber as Old Yeller, where like, you know, this little boy who's just doesn't have like friends or anything, befriends this little deer. And raises it up, and then the mom and the, I think it's the father or the grandfather, like, you can't keep this thing because it's wild.
And then Bambi's kid.
Yeah, and so in the end, Bambi's kid. He has to kill it, like,
or Bambi was the kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Could have been Bambi's kid. Wow. Bambi could have had some out of wedlock deer sex.
Bambi's such a sinner.
Yeah.
Oh, when, dear. You
know, when you grow up without the, you know,
yeah,
winds up in the strip clubs. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the yearling, that would be one.
Okay.
All
right. And be just out there twerking it on the gram.
Andy, just brought up a one sentence she just said brought up a good question. What do you hate more, books or black and white movies?
Oh, oh man. Wow. I mean, at least people are still acting in the black and white movies, okay. I guess. So yeah.
All right.
What about a what about a black and white movie with no dialogue and only subtitles?
You know what? That's where I'm okay.
Like a silent movie.
I dig some Charles Chappie. You know?
Yeah.
So
Andy loves
that, it almost like is like a negative times a negative. It just turns into a positive.
Okay.
You go. Yeah.
All right, hit us with yours.
All right. First one is Flight of the Navigator, one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Yep. yeah. And it's when basically he comes back and he hasn't aged, but his family has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
that is,
that'll
get
you. Second one, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, The Shoe and the Dip.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that, but that is so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh man, that was like heartbreaking.
Oh my god, dude.
I know.
The shoe screaming too and everything. Gosh.
It's so brutal.
I know.
It's so brutal. And then the last one I'll go, Pinocchio when he becomes a real boy. Because like the thing is, you know that Geppetto was getting it in when he was wood. Imagine now that he's a real boy, what Geppetto's going to do to him. Think about it.
Wait, are you saying that Geppetto, what is getting in?
You mean
what does that mean? Like, as far as the puppet,
he was Pinocchio was his sex toy.
Wait, what?
He carved his sex toy.
Andy, your perspective is fucking wild.
And now that he's become a real boy, come on now.
He's gonna end up being an orphan. You
How
know?
Dare you besmirch the good goddamn name of Geppetto?
Why do you think he's got the name Pet in it? More like Geppetto.
Geppetto.
Fuck you. James, go.
No, normally I wouldn't defend Pinocchio, but in this case I think I have to jump to its rescue.
Thank you.
Did anybody
probably
pick...
need someone to defend him?
Did anybody pick Bambi's mother dying?
No.
Okay, oh, no.
I'm taking that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's almost like it's one of those like it's so much it's cliche. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still sad as fuck.
It's still sad as fuck.
No, there was blood, so it doesn't make it sad.
There was no blood.
Yeah.
The mother gets shot off screen.
I thought she was on the ground, like with. Like,
well, later, but the scene that I'm talking about is when they're running away. Okay. Yeah. And then you hear the gunshot, and then fucking Bambi's in the little hideout just fucking screaming, mother.
Yeah,
mother.
The director's cut, Andy, had it flopped.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray version.
Oh man, the director's cut is fine.
It's just super fucking violent. It's like it's just that scene. Like you just hear the noise for like 7 minutes of it slowly losing its breath.
Sounds a little bit like Forrest when he's doing the sound.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh no.
All right. And then for my second pick,
weird how sex can sound like death.
Yeah. Boy, if I had a nickel.
Uh, All right. Oh. For my second pick, I'm going to go with Rufio's death in a hook.
Rufio!
Yeah, that's a good one. And then finally, the only reason I didn't put this on my team, because this is a sad fucking thing, but I couldn't remember which movie it was in, but the Harry Potter movie when he has the mirror where he can see his family, his parents in the mirror, and then they take it away from him, and he's like, he kind of flips out about it.
Mm. Is that the Chamber of Secrets?
I think it might be. Is that the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think it is. It's a mirror that shows you the thing you want most in life, and he just wanted his parents back.
You know? That's crazy, because in Justin Timberlake's mirrors, he was the person in the mirror.
That checks out.
I'm looking at me in the mirror.
I'm surprised nobody said Dobie's death.
Dobie's death is a really good one too.
I like Dolby Digital.
Yeah, that actually was a really good, that I'm gonna change my Harry Potter one to that.
To Dobie.
Dobie's death. Yeah.
All right.
Dobie's okay. Death.
I'm gonna add drop.
I did
if anybody else is.
You're gonna add drop?
Yeah, I'm gonna add drop.
I think I'm locked in.
Okay.
James,
you gonna add drop?
Hold on, let me look at my team real quick.
All right. So Grace, at this point, you could steal or add drop if you want. Okay. You can stay.
Yeah, so basically you can take anything from any of our honorables and put them on your team and you'd have to trade out for one of the ones on your team.
I forgot what was the
team. Andy can tell you.
Yeah.
James?
I'm going to add drop.
I think I'm going to add drop too.
Oh,
I'm going to add drop. Oh, boy. Three of us in the pool. Yeah,
I got to shake it.
Oh, man.
Wait.
I just got to remember what I had.
You have Onward, The Neverending Story, E.T. Dies, Fox and Hound, Friends, Dark Crystal.
Oh, shit.
Man.
Oh.
God, could you read my team?
Littlefoot Shadow, Mufasa's Death, Up Scene, Shadow Limping, Ernest Goes to Camp.
Nah, I feel like that's a Hall of Fame pick.
Wait. Reread mine again. Onward, The Never Ending
Onward, Story. Never Ended Story, E.T. Dies, Fox and Hound Friends, Dark Crystal.
Okay, yeah, I think I might change one of mine.
Okay.
All right, so three of us are in it. Let's see how the cookie crumbles.
Andy.
Yes.
Grace. James.
Oh, my gosh. What? So I...
And then, read all the honorables.
Yeah, as far as the honorables go, read those out.
Okay. Bambi's Mom, Rufio, Dobie, Flight of Navigator, Shoe and the Dip, Pinocchio when he becomes a boy, Secret of Nim, Legend, The Yearling, Old Yeller, Optimus Prime, The Boy Who Could Fly.
Okay.
All right. I am going to drop Home Alone. That was some straight up bullshit. And I'm going to pick up Shoe and the Dip.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to get.
So James and Grace both have the option of taking Home Alone also. So
yeah. Home Alone's available.
It is a sad scene.
It is a sad scene.
It's
yeah.
Not sad for the reason you fucking gave, but.
I think I'm going to drop the drop. Dark Crystal, and I'm gonna pick up Flight of the Navigator because that scene does it like,
yeah. Good switch.
And going along with my theme of my list, Flight of the Navigator hits just a little bit harder.
Yeah, I almost wanted that one right over the Shoe. So, man, James,
all right, I'm going to drop Free Willy, and I'm gonna pick up. I guess I'm going to pick up Rufio's death.
Yeah. Good call. Rufio's a person, and Free Willy is an animal.
Well, plus he was free too. I feel like the Free Willy pick, even though there is sad undertones, it's more of a happy moment. So that's why I wanted to get it out of there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
You know, this being said, I think I am going to watch Homeward Bound.
It's such a good movie.
It is. I watched it so much when I was younger.
I did too.
These are some damn squads. Michael J.
Fox was cool as hell.
Yeah, he was.
Still is. I mean, he's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not as cool anymore.
Oh, man. Oh, shaking it up.
Man. Oh, jeez. Man, wait. Oh, never mind. I was going to say, like, I think Sally Field's been mentioned twice on this podcast, but I guess we were just referencing Forrest Gump.
No, I was mentioning Mrs. Field's cookies.
Yeah, that's right.
Delicious.
Because she's sassy, you know.
Yeah.
All right, what are our teams, Andy?
All right. For the saddest scenes in kids' movies, James's team. Number one, Iron Giant. Number two, My Girl. Dude, where's his glasses? Three.
Dude, where's my glasses?
Four, Harry and the Henderson. You get your ass out of here. And five, Rufio and his death. For Andy's team of sad moments, Littlefoot's mom. Bible somewhere out there, you know? Andy giving up his toys, becoming a man. Shoeing the dip, and five, Wally losing his personality. Four, Grace's team of sad moments. Number one, Onward. Number two, The Never-Ending Story, people dying and shit. Number three, E.T. dying. Number four, Fox and the Hound, We Can't Be Friends No More. And number five, Light of the Navigator.
Oh, yeah.
For Drew's team of saddest moments. Pick number one. Forget About My Mom. It's all about the shadow.
That's right.
Pick number two, Mufasa's death. Number three, the first 5 minutes and up. Number four, old shadow limping across that hill.
Yeah.
And number five.
All about the shadow.
He's got two shadows on his team.
Yeah. And number five, that hilarious movie, Ernest Goes to Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got some squads.
Got some squads.
Yeah. Hey, Grace, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. This is good to finally meet you and.
Yeah,
get to talk and everything.
Yeah, after good to all get this these time. Feelings out too. Yeah.
The therapy,
yeah. Do you want to give like your Instagram or something so people can come find you?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of my fucking Instagram.
Ah, it's cool. I got you.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure if you wanted to give it out, so I didn't want to just throw it out there. You know.
Yeah, by all means.
It's Graceness _ Nunez. Graceness. _ Nunez. I should probably spell it out. We got a bunch of idiots. Graceness _ Nunez.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Easy.
Not the word easy, the letter E and the letter Z. Fucking idiots.
Letter Z. You Canadian. Yeah.
Oh man. All
right.
I gotta go hug my kid or something. I got some weird things going on in my brain.
Yeah. Loves you, bitches.
Well, that's our show. Tune in next week for another episode of The Draft Podcast. Bye-bye.